What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast. Happy Friday. It's the last Friday before the NFL Combine. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host of the daily CBS Sports NFL Podcast. Reminder, we will be live from the Combine, 12 to 1 video show, Pick Six Podcast. Rundown, Pick Six Rundown, hosted by myself. I think it's me, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson, joined by an accoutrement of various guests. You should watch it on CBS Sports HQ. Go to cbssports.com/live to check that out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We'll have a recap from 5:30 to 6 every night, and then I'll be on, I think the schedule says I'm on Sportsline every single night from 6 p.m. on. They're really trying to curtail my beer reviews in Indianapolis, with that schedule, but that's fine. Anyway, if you like the podcast, go check out the video. Need everybody's support. Appreciate it in advance. Joining me today and joining me in Indianapolis, of course, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason Lockenfora, JLC. What's up, buddy?
What's going on? So I will be I am part of this from Indianapolis. One of the days from 12 to 1. I feel like I'm there at 12 every day. No.
I think that you will definitely be part of it. There's a schedule up. I don't want to act like it's a vague schedule, but I assume that all schedules are, subject
malleable.
Malleable, pliable, subject to immediate change at a moment's notice. So I figure that there'll be, we're going to do the same thing we had at the Super Bowl, where it's like the little white swivelly chairs, the Jetson chairs.
Gotcha.
And we're going to sit down and break down the action of the day, the news of the day, hopefully talk to some important people around the NFL as they're coming through. I don't know where we're going to be set up, but people can watch it on CBS Sports HQ. What is – the Combine is fun. Is the Combine still fun to you, or have you has the Combine become – has it started to jump the shark?
Yeah. Usually by day three, I'm like, okay, this is a bit much.
Well, you have
but
to.
No, it's good.
It requires a disciplined personality and a strong liver.
Yes. Yes, it does. And you got to keep your head on a swivel.
Yeah.
It's good. It's football's winter meetings is what it really is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's not really, it's about the prospects, but at this point, everybody's going to get individual workouts. You know what I mean? They're going to be on campus. The guys they're really interested in, they're going to spend plenty of time with. It's about laying the foundation for the NFL offseason.
Well, I think the obvious big topic that will take place over the combine is who is going to trade for Antonio Brown. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert came out on Wednesday, right? Yes, Wednesday, and said that it is official that they're planning to trade him, although he left the door open to repair the relationship between the Steelers and Brown. What percent chance is it that Brown comes back to the Steelers next year?
I don't see that happening.
Like 0.1?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, 0.5%.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be able to make a trade for this guy, and they're going to be able to get something of value for him. Will it be everything they hoped and prayed and would want? Probably not, because there's been some stuff, his deal on social media, and then the TMZ report about potential domestic situation, that doesn't do the Steelers, doesn't aid their cause, in terms of making a grand slam trade, but they're going to be able to get value for him. It's a very cheap contract, and it's conducive to being moved multiple times if need be. And, I get that everybody gets old and Father Time's undefeated, but this guy stays in tremendous shape. You pencil him in for 1,000 yards, 10 to 12 touchdowns every single year. That's, 100 catches. I mean, he's a hell of a football player, and there's a lot of teams in a pass-happy league who feel like we're, one elite pass catcher away from, maybe getting over the top and getting to the promised land, or at least going further than we did the year before. So I think they will be able to accomplish many of their goals, and, that includes getting him out of the AFC and getting first-round value for him.
Wow. Okay. So I have a couple of follow-ups here. I don't want to ask them in rapid succession, but I will ask you first of all, so Who do you think is a likely suitor for Antonio Brown? And do you think that these suitors will give up a first-round pick?
Well, I say first-round value.
Okay.
It could be a player and a pick.
Mm.
You know, it could be a two and a three. It might be a late one. I would not rule that out, you know, depending on the team and where their draft pick is.
I would say,
you know,
I would say
it could involve future assets as well. It might not just all be 2019 assets.
I would say that a late two in this draft could even equate to quote unquote first round. I mean, an early two could even equate to first round value, so to speak, just because of the depth of the draft. But that's
yes, more. And you can build in contingencies to the trade if he plays X number of snaps and the team goes to the playoffs or X, Y, and Z happen, then it triggers an additional pick the following year. You know what I mean? Or the pick, well, you won't be able to do anything with the pick moving up this year, obviously, because there's no games between now and then. But, you know, you can get creative with it. So, I mean, Amari Cooper went for a one. I know he's younger, but Amari Cooper's never, I mean, these last, any way you want to slice up the last 6 years of Antonio Brown, you know, the last 2 years, the last 3 years, all 6 years, whatever, it's historically significant what he's done. And while you can say part of that is the totality of that offense and everything around him and all that and the quarterback, and I get all that, his production has been special. And I have a hard time thinking that won't bear itself out in a trade of some consequence for the Steelers.
Well, and doesn't the Steelers' attitude in this sort of, I mean, help in that regard? They've always, like, this is not a flippy floppy organization and a fly-by-night GM. This is a guy who's been doing it for a long time. He has traded star wide receivers in the past. He is, you know, the Steelers have been willing to let guys walk if they didn't, you know, this is how they got it. They got Antonio Brown his first contract is Mike Wallace turned him down.
Yes.
They're like, all right, Mike, smell you later. We've got another guy right here that'll fill your shoes. And from that perspective, it helps that I think that Kevin Colbert's like, look, we're not going to give up this guy for a 6th round pick. Because they're eating cap space whether he's on the team
right.
or not, right?
Right. Yeah, it's gonna cut away their cap space, which is ultimately why at the end of the day they decided not to tag Bell because, you know, if you don't have a deal done right away for him and he's counting $15 million against your cap and you do have a deal done for Antonio Brown, or at least think you do, and now you're assuming $21 million in dead cap for him, you're always pretty snug against the cap anyway because you have a really talented roster and a quarterback who makes a lot of money. That doesn't leave a whole lot of, you know, wiggle room to do anything else.
Well, and you would think too that like Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, if Le'Veon Bell got some sort of tag, he might, I mean, they know their situation. So they're going to be like, dude, go sign that right now. Like make, you know, I mean, I don't know if he would
right.
do that, but it's like if Le'Veon Bell signs a tag that they give him, signs a tender.
Right now he's on their payroll.
He messes them up. He forces them in a bad spot with Antonio. He puts them in a bad spot with him. Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So it all has kind of, become a bit of a quagmire there, but the contract is, I mean, the Steelers have to eat the dead cap, but you know, the other teams aren't assuming they don't have to worry about that. They don't have to worry about what the Steelers already paid them in proration. It's just pay as you go, $13 million a year. I mean, it's incredibly team friendly. Now he may, you know, hanker for something else, but you don't have to do anything. And I mean, if he wants to start sitting out at a new team and holding out, you know, then good luck how that's going to play out for him. But I'm sure he's going to want you to sweeten the pot a little bit, but you don't have to do anything. And it's an incredibly attractive contract from the team that acquires him standpoint. But obviously, it's going to be cumbersome for the Steelers. But I've heard steadfast of this entire thing since it started going really haywire week 17 that they weren't going to let the cap hit preclude them from making a trade. If, you know, if it's a trade they think makes sense for them, and they have ways that they can, you know, handle this and still have enough left over to sign players and do what they need to do.
Ironically, didn't they restructure Brown's deal in the last like 2 years to like,
yeah,
like move up his, like shifted a bunch of stuff into roster bonus or bonuses into a signing
yep.
bonus where he gets 3.8. That's where, I mean, like a large chunk of the dead cap comes from, right? Because it all accelerates on.
Yes.
Because they thought he was going to be around for a while. I mean, that tells you how quickly this stuff turns. So who would ultimately be a team that you think is going to be lurking around these smoky indie cigar bars chatting up, or maybe they're just, you know, eating a nice steak dinner somewhere, but who's going to be lurking around Indianapolis talking to Kevin Colbert and company, bearing in mind too that this deal has to happen before March 17th. Otherwise the Steelers eat another $2.5 million.
I think you could look at a half dozen teams in the NFC, where I think there'll at least be conversations that take place. The New Orleans Saints, not the greatest cap situation in the world, but they have guys they can restructure. You can create cap space if you really want to go all in. Cash always trumps cap. They were trying to get in Emmanuel Sanders last year before the deadline. They knew they needed somebody else besides Mike Thomas. And you saw, you know, the end of their season, Mike Thomas got suffocated. You know what I mean? Ben Watson's banged up and he's at the end. You don't have a move tight end you can count on. You know, you're hoping Ted Ginn latches on to a long ball or two. But all of a sudden, you know, your warts really show up. So I think the Saints will be motivated. I think the Eagles are always sniffing around on stuff like this, whether they get involved in the end or not. They're always lurking and assessing. Same with the Seahawks. We've seen them make blockbuster trades for a tight end and a wide receiver before, right? Jimmy Graham and Percy Harvin didn't work out. But they're always an aggressive organization. Obviously, the 49ers, that's where Brown seems to want to go based on the social media. And they have a need, and Kyle Shanahan needs to win this year. You know, then you can look at the Bears and the Packers just from a need standpoint and what he might do to help put them over the top. And then I also look at Tampa Bay, where Bruce Arians is very familiar with those Steelers players from his time there. And Bell and Brown would both, I mean, I think Bell more than Brown would fill a void. You know, could Mike Evans and Brown coexist with two pass catching tight ends? You know, and I don't know whether they'll be able to keep Humphreys in the slot or not. And again, the running back might make more sense than the wide receiver, but those are teams I would expect to, be involved at least to some degree.
Interesting. The Buccaneers, I hadn't even thought about Bell. I'll circle back on that in a second, but with the Brown stuff, I know that Peter King wrote about this in his Monday column, and you just referenced it. So I'm curious, like, how many teams are legitimately turned off by the stuff that Antonio Brown was doing on social media? Because, I get that it's like, it's social media, it's Instagram, whatever. He's just being but like, it was kind of crazy pants. Like, the stuff you're seeing from him was like out there and weird. And, if I were a single person and somebody was like, I want to set you up with this girl, and she was doing Antonio Brown level stuff on the gram, or the IG as the kids call it, I guess, I'd probably dumb enough where I would still call her, but like I would be reticent to jump into
that. But she's really, really hot, right?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. And Antonio Brown is very hot, older, but hot.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of production, in terms of attractiveness on field on the stat sheet, in the box score, in the highlight reel, he's still pretty attractive.
He's a 10.
Look, I think people like to talk about this stuff anonymously to hope that it works in their favor and there's a shallow market. I mean, is any receiver in this draft going to come in next year and have a typical Antonio Brown season?
No.
History would tell you no.
Hell
right?
No.
Are teams desperate for receivers? Yeah. The Jacksonville Jaguars gave Dante Moncrief $10 million for 1 year. Like, that just happened. You know what I mean? The Ravens were willing to give Ryan Grant, what, 5 or 7 a year before that thing fell apart? I mean, people were still... You know, Sammy Watkins got $36 million in the first 2 years, fully guaranteed.
Yeah.
Not you're telling me I can rent Antonio Brown year to year at 13. I mean, I mean, we've seen guys like Brandon Cooks traded a couple of times, right? I mean, if it doesn't work out, it's still. I mean, Amari Cooper worked out really well in Dallas, but I mean, a one for him seemed really, really high at the time. You're going to tell me that I get it. There's some warts with Antonio Brown. He's a different cat, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, look how long this isn't all new either. The Steelers have had issues there for a long time. It's been covered up by winning. But, I mean, worked out pretty well for Pittsburgh. I just have a hard time thinking that his tweeting and even the behavior of week 17, Is it going to be everybody's cup of tea? No. Will it turn some people off and some owners in particular? I'm sure, probably. But I have a hard time thinking there's not a legitimate market for this guy.
Yeah, and it's like you talk again. Look at like some of the situations you mentioned where there is like how much are you worried about social media versus being more concerned about A, your job, or B, you know, winning a Super Bowl. I think in Green Bay, you know, Matt LaFleur is a new coach. It's not like he's going to have an unlimited window to figure this thing out. I mean, the Packers have a short time span in which to capitalize on Aaron Rodgers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, even if Bruce Arians is the new coach, everyone there should be concerned about their jobs out of the gate. And they have to try and fix Jameis Winston. Antonio Brown might do that. I mean, I think the Saints just had a great year and should have gone to the Super Bowl. They've been screwed by the refs, and they still probably feel a little bit desperate to try and make one more run, you know, with Drew Brees. So I think that desperation lingers across the whole league when you talk about that too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you think Bruce Arians is in this for the long haul?
No.
He's trying to win right bleeping now, right? I mean, who are we kidding? Now, I would say spend your money on defense more than another wide receiver. You got plenty of guys who can catch the ball. Todd Monken's offense was not a problem last year. It was top five most of the year. So, I think they're broken in other areas. But, I mean, they're going to be getting rid of Gerald McCoy. They're going to be, you know, getting rid of DeSean Jackson and shedding some salary. So they're going to have some money to play with. And, you know, Jason Light, he's going to need a real big offseason. And Bruce Arians is going to be year to year. So, yeah, I mean, you start looking at the league and who knew. I mentioned Kyle Shanahan. I mean, this is year three, big for them. They better take a step forward. You know, I mean, those 6-year deals, whatever, man, I'll believe they're 6 guaranteed years when I see the contract myself. I don't buy that for a second. They know they're under the gun. I mean, there's certain situations where, yeah, there's a risk in getting this guy, but if somebody gets him for a 2 and a 4, you know what I mean? And some of these teams that might be a Brown away are shuffling their feet in September or October, you got to answer to your owner for that too. It's not just what you did, it's what you didn't do. Mm. So I think this is going to be a trade that they get done at the combine, and I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of begging and pleading and cajoling.
Wow. All right. So you think this happens inside? Well, it can't officially happen until, of course, the new league year starts. Joe Flacco
right.
has been traded to the Broncos, but not officially. You think this is a deal that gets put in place by the end of the combine, or by, you know, the start of?
I think it gets done at the combine. Yeah,
yeah.
Or at least they've got it whittled down to a couple teams, and they pick their offer, you know, coming out of it. But I think it crystallizes at the combine.
All right. What do you make of Kevin Colbert's other comments? Not on Le'Veon Bell, but on Ben Roethlisberger. He said, Ben is the unquestioned leader of this group. Like I said, he's the elder statesman and the Super Bowl winner. If our players were smart, they'd listen to him because he's been there. He's done it. He can tell them, no, guys, what you're doing is good or not good enough to do this. And I honestly believe that's kind of a burden, yada, yada, yada. But he basically said, if Ben wants to criticize anybody on this team, he's more than capable to do it, and he's fine with doing it. I have no problem with that. Are you surprised by the Steelers sort of empowering Ben Roethlisberger like that, or is this an easy pivot away from, all right, Bell and Brown are leaving, you know, let's let these divas know who the guy is here?
They're making their bed with the quarterback. That's where they're going, and that's where they've been going, and that's part of the reason why some of these things came to a head, because they're going to extend. They're going to extend Ben, and they've known that for a while internally. And Antonio Brown, a lot of his issues are with Ben. And so are they picking sides to some degree? Yeah, I mean, they are. And as much as Ben is, I think, at fault for a lot of this, he generally has tiptoed up to a line that Antonio Brown has jumped over and stomped over several times in the last 6 to 8 weeks, which has sort of hastened all this. But they think they have a chance to win another Super Bowl with Ben, and that's what they're trying to do, and the cast around him will change somewhat. But even if there's a departure or two on that offensive line, I think they'll be in good shape there. They showed they can run the ball without Bell last year. We'll see what they do with that $15 million that he would have made last year, and how that's spent, and where, you know, what they do to that roster. But I mean, at this point, it's Ben's team. You know what I mean? They've kind of made it clear it's Ben's team. when they got rid of Haley, they hired Ben, the guy who was closest to Ben on the staff, got promoted. To a point where other people in that offense are like, there might not be enough checks and balances between the OC and Ben. But that's the way Tomlin has sort of set it up, and that's the way it is. And those two remain joined at the hip, and we'll see what the next, 2 to 3 years bring. He'll get, I'm sure, guaranteed money through at least 2 more years with this extension on top of the year he has left. And they drafted Mason Rudolph for a reason. And, not this coming training camp, but, the next one after that, I think that's when they really have to start looking at Mason Rudolph. And not so much maybe to start right then and there, but is this the guy we think takes over the following year?
So Ben is a two-year deal?
I think they'll have to make it 4 or something like that for cap purposes.
Right,
I think it'll be 4 or 5 because it's going to be a big number and they're going to want to spread it out. But I think it will pretty much ensure 2 more years where he is, barring injury, probably their starting quarterback. And then after that, we'll see.
Yeah, I didn't realize it looking at this now on spottrack.com, but Roethlisberger gets a $1 million bonus for having a passer rating of 100 or higher. That was in his last contract. I mean, one would think it would stay in this deal too. It makes all the sense in the world. And you would presume that knowing that they have to take, it actually helps you because you look at Ben and you say, all right, he has a $23.2 million cap hit. You extend him now. You get his cap. I don't know how low you can get his cap hit, but if you can get him to, ostensibly offset Antonio Brown's deal, that changes everything, right?
And it gives they can lower that. They can lower that substantially, and they will as part of this thing. They'll give him a lot of upfront money that'll be spread out over 4 or 5 years, and they'll bring his base salary down this year to probably close to the vet minimum. He'd rather get the money now than get it over the course of 17 weeks, and that creates wiggle room, absolutely.
Sure. All right, what about with Le'Veon Bell? He's going to be a free agent. I mean, you explained why the Steelers just can't afford to have all those guys in there. What are you hearing in terms of teams that are planning to make a move for a guy like Bell? You mentioned the Bucs, which I think is really interesting, given their lack of a running back and that the offense that it looks like they might have there.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't forget how much Le'Veon Bell does in the passing game as well and what a weapon he is there. Yeah, I think it starts with the Jets, and the Jets have been mulling this and considering this for quite some time, and as the Jets were interviewing head coaching candidates, I'm told Le'Veon Bell's name came up more than once, and I don't think they'll go to stupid town, to do this, and I'm hearing that Bell's going to be, his age is going to be at the combine looking for $50 million in the first 2 years. I don't see anybody getting anywhere near that at all, not even the Jets. Can he get his 12 to 13 a year, with the, guaranteed money into the third year? It's possible. But I don't, the 15 to 16 that he was walking away from, 45 over 3 and 20.5 in the first year, stuff the Steelers had on the table back in July, I don't know that he gets that on the open market. I don't know that he meets it, much less beats it. I think he'll get a nice contract, but I don't think it's going to be in the stratosphere that he's looking for.
Do you think ultimately that his holdout, what was it about changing the way that people view running backs? Was it about trying to bust open the franchise thing, or was it just about getting money and, hey, I got a year off? I mean, I don't know. It seems like with Kirk Cousins, there was all this, Cousins is changing the paradigm. And I mentioned paradigm as Le'Veon Bell changed it with Brady Quinn yesterday. I mean, do you think there was any, morality or, I guess I'm wondering, was this just all a cash grab at the end of the day, or was there something else there?
I mean, he's making a gamble that by sitting out a year, there'll be more money in the pot, or at least the same money in the pot, moving forward with a different team. And obviously the goal would be more money in the pot. I'm not sure that bargain will prove to be true. I just don't. They ran the ball really well without him. The Chiefs lost Kareem Hunt, and still still went, further in the playoffs than we've seen them go in a long time, and, were maybe a call away themselves from going to the Super Bowl. A lot of teams with the most money to spend, either don't need a running back, or why am I going to spend a running back now? I'm going to, you know, and give him all that money. I'm going to be picking at the top of each round, and I might find somebody younger and cheaper and close to as productive, not even in the first, you know, in the second day of the draft. So I don't think there's this, there's going to be teams beating down his door. I don't think this is, you know, at the age, at the combine, there's 10 teams meeting with him, and they whittle it down to five, and then he makes two or three visits, and then he gets his, you know, record-setting contract. I think there's maybe three, four teams who will be willing to pay him real high-end running back money, and maybe he gets one of them to get close to that, you know, Jarvis Landry threshold to where, you know, pay me as a slot receiver and not a running back. Maybe, but maybe not. You know, maybe not.
I mean, you know, running backs are not a good investment. That's the bottom line. All right, what is a good investment is whatever is coming up in this commercial break. When we take, you should check it out. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back, and we'll talk some more NFL rumors and franchise tag and combine stuff.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, so can we talk about two silly rumors?
Sure.
Okay. The first one is the Colin Coward rumor about Russell Wilson and the Giants. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being it's kind of interesting, and 10 being this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. Where does the idea of Russell Wilson getting himself traded to the Giants because Sierra wants to live in New York? Where does that rate on your scale, 1 to 10?
I don't like the whole backstory and all that. I have no idea. I'm not Mr. Hollywood. I reported before week one that a contract extension with Russell Wilson is not going to be easy. He has no reason to sign anything at this point, knowing quarterback salaries are going to completely continue to rise. We're going to have an influx of gambling money coming into this league that might take revenues to stratospheres nobody thought possible even a couple of years ago. You've got the franchise tag out there, and that all of last season, while the Falcons were falling all over themselves to re-sign Matt Ryan and the Packers were falling all over themselves to, you know, extend Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson's in the same boat as Aaron Rodgers, and there wasn't a single phone call. Not one, an exploratory phone call, not, man, you're 2 years away. We don't want to, you get into a lame duck situation. How do we rectify this? Nothing, you know, not a blip of conversation. And you've got Richard Sherman coming out in SI, you know what I mean, and all these anonymous sources tied to Seattle saying how Russell's not the real leader and special conditions for Russell and all that going on. And if you're Russell Wilson, you don't have to do a darn thing. If Joe Flacco and Kirk Cousins gambled on themselves and won, what might this guy bring on the open market at age 31, 32, whatever, 33?
It's like $40 million a year. 50, more?
Maybe 45. Like, even if Seattle, if you know they're going to have to franchise you twice. Like, if you saw that, if you just go back to the trade that the Bears made before the season starts for a pass rusher, mm-hmm. not a quarterback, right? And all they gave up for him, and then plus paying him a record contract. What would teams give up for a quarterback? You know what I mean? What was Jay Cutler, 2 ones back in the day?
Like, yeah.
So you've got all this floating out there, and Seattle not making any attempt to get ahead of Green Bay or ahead of Atlanta, you know, to say nothing of now you got Roethlisberger coming back up. And, you know, it is what it is, right? These salaries continue to grow exponentially. What is Russell, what is he worth? And if they come to you, like even if they come to you for 160 for four, well, you're sitting there thinking, well, wait, they'd have to franchise me the first time for this and then the second time for that and then the third time for this. And at that point, we're in a new CBA and who even knows what's going on. Like if Kirk Cousins got – if he wins a Super Bowl, he's going to make $90 million in 3 years. That's Kirk Cousins, who's never won a playoff game and is, what, 4-24 against winning teams. What is Russell Wilson worth on the open market?
So the project
I mean, I don't know what Colin's hearing, but if he's just read anything I've wrote about this situation, even going back to the end of the 2017 season, like, I've been trying to tell people that this is not a slam dunk. Like, this is going to be an much more interesting, intriguing dance than anybody's really giving you credit for, unless you're really paying attention, that the Seahawks at this 2019 combine, if they're not falling all over themselves to re-sign Russell Wilson, then they might as well be trying to trade him. Because franchising for 2 years and then losing him, I mean, you've put a very finite, you know what I mean, window on your chance to win. And he's never going to have as much trade value now as he would at any other time. And there's not a ton of teams that need quarterbacks and all that. I get it. But, like, I mean, I'm sure Sierra would be cool with living on South Beach, too. You know? Like, I'm sure she could live with that. Like, I mean, I don't know. The Chargers, Phillip Rivers isn't getting any younger. You could trade. You could get a lot for Phillip Rivers in trade. You know what I mean? To offset some of what it would take to keep a Russell, you know, to get a Russell Wilson in L.A. You know, and the Giants, I mean, the Giants were, you know, if you just sat there back and connected dots, and I've done this in the past, you could say that, okay, that would work. But I don't know that they'd be – it just seems very un-Giant-like to make that kind of a blockbuster trade for a quarterback. But the underlying situation hasn't changed. I mean, this guy is going into a lame duck year. His numbers stack up against anybody's. He's done it on the biggest stages. He does it in the fourth quarter. He does it in the playoffs. He does it in the Super Bowl. He does it every year. That team without him last year, I don't know that they're 6-10. But you're damn sure not 10-6. What is he worth? I don't know. I don't know that anybody can answer that question. You know, I don't know that anybody can answer that question because, again, I don't know what the new CBA is going to look like. I don't know what the new broadcast television deals are going to look like. I don't know how much gambling money is coming in, but the owners themselves think it will be measured in billions, plural, when you get all the individual sponsorships, all the, you know, all the each team sponsorships and the league sponsorships and all the revenue that might come in for proprietary stuff and logos and next-gen stats. I mean, it's being looked at as next to the broadcasting contracts, potentially the second biggest revenue stream for the league. And you got Goodell, who's been saying for years he wants to get over $20 billion in revenue. Like, if you're Russell Wilson, you don't have to do anything. I mean, and again, what number would truly make sense? He's never missed a snap. The guy had a high ankle sprain played the next week. So, I mean, eventually, I guess, you know, things can change. But if you're him to this point, you've been Superman. And now you're 1 year away from them either having to franchise you or whatever. It's an incredibly interesting situation. And, again, all through last offseason, I know people in Seattle are like, oh, rabble-rouser, you're crazy, whatever. Okay, well, now here we are. We're a week out from the combine. Let's see.
He's heading into the final year of his contract. It's it's crazy.
Nothing's happened. Not a single phone call. Like, not a how you doing. you know, hey, you know, Mark Rogers, the agent, are you going to be, how many Russell's home games are you going to be this year? Well, let's try, why don't we sit down and talk and see, or if you don't want to do it in season, although I have done some in season before, right? Michael Bennett, I think, got an in season one. Yeah. But regardless, I mean, you had all of last offseason. And I just kept, you know, I'm like, wow, I'm just sort of waiting for the Seahawks, you know, the late Paul Allen, RIP. You know, I kept waiting for him to, you know, some statement from him to echo what Arthur Blank was saying or what Mark Murphy was saying, you know what I mean, about their quarterbacks or what the Rooneys always say about Roethlisberger. Like, I was waiting, you know, Russell Wilson's getting slandered in SI, and like, there were, where was the, you know, I didn't hear anybody talking about Russell the way Kevin Colbert's talking about Ben right now.
No, that's good. That's a good point. And look, if you tag him, so let's just say hypothetically the Seahawks try, and the Seahawks, by the way, extended Russell pretty early in the process the first time that they extended him back when he was
20. But his agent was smart, super smart. It was only like a 4-year deal.
Right.
So
no,
now it's coming to pass. It wasn't one of these 6-year whoppers. It was 4, so it put him right back on the same track as Aaron Rodgers, who keeps resetting the market.
Yep.
But that's why I kept writing. Like, am I the only person in America who's like, you know what I mean? These teams are, they're at the same point in time with quarterbacks of similar accomplishments, and one is letting everybody in the world know there's no way he's getting to week one without being the highest paid player in the history of this league again. It's just by a matter of what degree. And the other one isn't even calling the agent, isn't even sniffing around, isn't even doing anything.
Well, I remember we talked about this last year too, and like the construct then was that, okay, the Seahawks are going to play this season out, see what they have with this revamped team. Maybe they can be a little bit better than people think. Well, it turns out they were a lot better than people think, and suddenly they're rejiggered for a run. This is when you extend Russell Wilson and open up your window even further, because nobody's built to play behind what they do better than Russell, unless they think that they have to go and draft some younger quarterback who can possibly do it. That to me seems like folly, but I mean, then again, Jason, like if he plays out this year and there's no new contract, then you obviously you franchise tag him in 2020. I would think that's,
now you're probably up at the 36 million-ish. I mean, you're already way up there.
Well, no, because the tag is this year going to be like 25, right? So you're looking at what, like 20? Do you think it'll be like 30?
What is the exclusive? Is that the non-exclusive? I mean, what is the highest tag this year?
I thought it was 25. Per Joel Corey's projections, because they haven't released him yet. So he's got 25.1, which is an 8% increase. So you're looking at, you know, I mean, somewhere in the range of like 28 to 30 for next year. And by the way, his cap hit this year, or his salary is 17 million. Never mind. So anyway, then you're looking at like 35.
So then you got to give 20% on top of that. So now you're pushing like 36 or whatever, right?
So I mean, like bare minimum, you're talking about
36, 37. So let's just say 30. Let's just say 66 for two, 33 a year.
Yeah. And then
even if they offer you 40.
Yeah.
Like if they offered you 4 years, 160 with Cousins money guaranteed, 83 guaranteed, and you're Russell Wilson, are you taking it?
No, not necessarily. You're like,
I don't know that I am.
Yeah, I'll play this tag and then I'll just get a deal from somebody, because he would get, like, if you put him on the open market, he's making somewhere, if you put him on the open market right now, or like, if the Seahawks cut him, and they could for like fairly minimal damage, $8.28 million in dead cap space. I'm not saying they would, but if they did cut him and they decided to draft somebody and move on, I mean, they could, like, he would make $42 million a year, $40 million a year minimum on the open market, guaranteed, like fully guaranteed.
And that's right now, right? So then start factoring the other stuff I was talking about. Another round of TV contracts.
Yep.
The gambling money and a new CBA coming in the next 3 years. Why? You know what I mean? You don't know what the landscape's going to be. Could there be a quarterback exemption? You know what I mean? There be something like the NBA with double max contracts and all this? Like, who knows? But
so if you're Russell,
you know, if you're sitting there also saying, man, I'm Russell bleeping Wilson, and you know, Brian Schottenheimer won't let me throw the ball in the biggest game of the year. Like, is now the time to ante up?
So if you're Russell Wilson,
what price? You don't have to do anything. And I would just mention, his agent is primarily a baseball agent, where you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the reason baseball players make all the money they make is that the best ones get to the market. It's about getting to the market.
Yeah.
Like, why isn't Bryce Harper signed right now? Is it because there's no money out there for Bryce Harper, or is it because they waited to get to the market and they'll push it to the limit and they'll extract every last penny they can possibly get?
It's because they're just playing this gross game of chicken with the Phillies until Philly gives them $330 million.
Or $350 or whatever,
yeah, whatever
it is.
Whatever it is, yeah.
So,
yeah.
And you just know that whole last offseason, while all these other guys are getting signed, you didn't get an exploratory phone call.
Yeah. So what if you're Russell? What if you're Russell and your move is, okay, I'm going to play 2019 on my one-year deal. If you guys want to franchise tag me in 2020, cool. And if you want to franchise tag me in 2021, cool. And then I'm going to see what this new CBA, like what happens with this new CBA. And it doesn't matter because I've got Ciara money and I got Russell money. Like I don't.
And if I was representing him, I would have in my mind a particular percentage of the cap that I think, you know what I mean, should be devoted to a quarterback of this caliber.
Yeah.
Well, what if that cap number 4 years from now is drastically different than now because new TV money's kicked in and because the league has, you know, a $500 billion a year sponsorship with some casino and each individual team has their own, you know, 50, whatever, I don't know, $100 million per year sponsorship with some other casino. And we're going to let, you know, somebody else buy next-gen stats from us for this or that or whatever. Or the league is just in the gambling business itself and raking in revenues. Like, what should a reasonable quarterback contract look like for a player of that magnitude under those constructs? Well, I don't know. But I would think it's magnitudes of what it would look like right now when none of that's factored in.
So I'm trying to do the math on this. So the final league year of the CBA is 2020, right?
Yes. No, I thought it's 2020. I thought it's 2021 final, the broadcast contract.
That's what I thought too. Final.
That deal was what? Was 2011, wasn't it?
They did it. Here it is. Final league year means the league year which is scheduled prior to its commencement to be the final league year of this agreement. As of the date hereof, the final league year is the 2020 league year.
So okay, that means, so 2021 offseason.
Because they banged this thing out in August of 2011, so it was after, so it was before the 2011 season. Because that's right, because it was Cam's first season, because he had the lockout. Right, so the first year was 2011.
Right.
So that means the final year will be 2020.
Yeah.
Well, so like, if you're Russell, even better. You say, all right, I'll play 2020 on a one-year franchise tag deal, and we might get a new CBA, and you might not be able to tag me.
Right, or maybe you get to grandfather me in, but there'll be some concession here, there, whatever. And, you know, now, instead of the third year being X number of a raise, now it is two times X, you know what I mean, or three times X. Even if you want to, you really can't. I mean, I don't know. Nobody knows.
Okay, all right, so then, like, let's just...
Again, that's why last year I kept sort of every 3 months just like, oh, by the way, there's literally nothing happening here, but there's all this stuff happening with all these other quarterbacks.
Look, I think we take the Ciara stuff out of it in terms of... But, like, you'd been talking about this beforehand. That's why I wanted to bring it up with you. But I think that the rumor that the coward thing about New York, I'm not saying he's the first one to report it. I just think we've decided this is clearly a one. Like, this is a flaming one, like, with real legs and, until the Seahawks approach him about a deal and hammer something out. And I don't think Russell would be, look, Russell switched schools. You know, he does the whole pack of Badgers thing. He went from NC State to Wisconsin. He understands that, loyalty in this sport is fleeting. And that, you know, he wants to go somewhere and he wants to win. So I don't think it would be insane for him to as much as Seahawks love him, insane for him to go somewhere else. What about the notion floated by Jay Glazer of The Athletic, which feels weird to say, but whatever, that he predicts that Odell Beckham will be traded this offseason?
I'm going to predict that he's not.
So a 10 or a 9 in terms of?
I have no idea. I have a hard time seeing that franchise who's continually clung to this idea that they're close, trading their best player, taking a $35 million cap hit in the process just 1 year after extending him, knowing that they've got holes all over the defense, right?
Yeah.
And now we're going to take away have fun running the ball with Saquon Barkley without this guy on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Good luck with that.
No, I'm with you.
With a 36-year-old declining quarterback or a rookie. Like, good luck. I don't. They had the chance, dude. I mean, 9 months ago, the owner is publicly ruminating at the owners' meetings. Maybe I need to trade this guy. And then they give him a record contract. Like, they just did it. Like, that's who they think they are. I understand they stunk again this year, but they should have known they were going to stink. They still haven't cut the quarterback. They're probably not going to cut the quarterback. I don't foresee it. And, I mean, that's a massive – and I understand the cap's fungible. But that's a substantial hit to take.
Yeah, I mean –
in a year where they're still clinging to this idea that now we're finally going to be better. I have a hard time seeing it.
Yeah, either you blow it all up and you get rid of Odell Beckham and maybe you try and trade Saquon Barkley and you cut Eli Manning, or you
– Well, and then don't tag Landon Collins. You know what I mean?
Right,
like, just go take that comp pick.
Yeah.
Or if you think you can work out a tag and trade, then whatever. But, yeah, I mean, draft a quarterback and nothing but – and then, like, every other pick an offensive lineman. I mean, but I have a hard time thinking that's where they're going. I mean
– You can't go down this path.
It's not like they went last year and went to this, like, hybrid, analytically powered, youthful front office. They hired Dave Gettleman.
Yeah, they did.
I mean
– Uncle Dave.
So now they're going to completely switch. And look, they've done a lot of stuff that doesn't make sense to me. So if they were to do this now, I don't know that anybody could say they're shocked, because I've been trying to figure them out for a couple of years now. But to reverse course that dramatically now with Gettleman in a year where Eli's still no good, but he was better last year than the year before, in part just it's hard to be that bad again. But even when the numbers say that, if you watch the games, you're still like, the ball's all over the place. I mean, there's so much lost yak yards. There's so much inefficiency from him not being able to throw a screen pass into a guy's hands.
Right.
But even taking all that out of it, like, I just, for them to reverse course now.
You're too far into it.
Would be really, bizarre.
Yeah, you're too far into it. And again, like, you don't sign Odell Beckham. You franchise tag Odell Beckham and then try and trade him. You don't sign him to that big contract. And it's not like that big a, you know, it's not that bad a deal, and they can actually trade him with a fairly.
No, but it's just trading him after giving all that upfront money, trading him 1 year into it, and then having the proration hit on your cap is just,
it's stupid. It'd be stupid.
Yeah.
What about other franchise tag candidates? Le'Veon Bell, of course, off the, off the market. Who, it's weird how the franchise tag has shifted in terms of the timeline. It used to be that when the window to tag guys open, teams would.
Yeah, the combine's later this year, I feel like. The combine usually is right around the middle of February, or at least during the window. This year, the combine, it seems like it's closer to March than February.
Maybe so. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
I think the combine's later this year.
So you think it's teams waiting until they get to the combine to tag somebody?
I think a lot of them are the guys who seem obvious to be tagged are also the guys who they actually are trying to extend. So, you know, the agents won't give you their best price till closer to the end of the window than the beginning. You know what I mean? You don't know what final is until you get there. I mean, some of them, it's like, whatever. I mean, Houston could go ahead and do it now, because I don't think they're ever working on a long-term deal with Clowney. But still, what's the harm? You never know. I mean...
Yeah. Well, and also, I think teams like to wait too, because they can, it looks like they did good faith negotiations, even if they're just sitting around waiting for, you know, we're like, all right, as soon as this tag deadline gets here, we're banging Clowney with them.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, really, there's no downside. There's no cost to waiting until, you know what I mean, that day.
Yeah.
Till closer to the end of the window. I mean, we're doing the same thing July 15th. You know what I mean? By and large, the guys who are on the tag who do get extensions, a lot of them won't get them until, you know what I mean, 12 hours before that deadline to extend them, or now they're, you know, playing out the 1 year, because players will be inclined to take the burden, to look to the future until, wait, now this is the last minute, and I do have to report for camp, you know, if I'm going to camp 11 days from now, and, you know, I know that's not all the money I would get in the open market, but damn, you know, $55 million is a whole lot more than, you know, $20 million. Like, So it's, you know, deadlines spur actions, and this is a soft deadline. The hard deadline is when the 2 weeks are up.
Mm. Do you think there'll be any surprises in terms of the tags, or is it just going to be status quo?
Well, I was surprised the Steelers walked away from Bell that quickly after really preparing and talking to the management council and doing as much due diligence as they did on, transitioning him. But I think the Antonio Brown situation had something to do with that in the end. No, I don't think there'll be any shockers at this point. I don't. One I'm still most intrigued by is Foles, just because that's a dangerous game of chicken to be playing. You better really hope you got that trade in hand.
I mean, because he's going to.
Because the moment you give him $25 million, he's signing it.
Right.
And then,
right.
Okay, everybody knows you're not paying him. You know, you don't want a $25 million backup. I mean, would teams just wait to see if you rescind it later in the, you know what I mean? And I say teams, plural, that's a joke. I mean, I think it's Jacksonville. I don't even know who else it would be.
Wait, can you? I don't know if you, I don't think you can rescind it once he signs it.
Once he signs it, you can't. I don't even know. I mean, That's a dangerous game to play.
Well, I think that's why Foles bought out his option, is that he had that $20 million option. He pays $2 million back to get out of it. But if one of two things happens is they franchise tag you, you sign the deal, and you're still with Philly, but you got three extra million dollars in your pocket, minus two of the 25, or they don't sign you, they don't franchise tag you, and you walk in the open market and you're getting $90 million from some sucker like the Jaguars, who again, you're right, might not be willing to trade whatever it is the Eagles want. And once he signs that, it basically becomes a game of, it is a game of chicken, but it's a game of chicken on a short highway with one bus. I mean, it's just a really bad idea.
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people are telling me that they're going to do it, and they're telling people that they're going to do it. I just wonder when we actually get to the, you know, to the end of that window, if Howie Roseman actually does it.
All right, that is interesting. So D. Ford, Jadeveon Clowney, Nick Foles is a maybe. Grady Jarrett, very likely. Do you think the Cowboys and DeMarcus Lawrence work out a deal before the tag? I guess it'd be no. I think he wants a lot of money.
If I'm him, I let them tag me, and then I see what happens in this market, and then let's see what they're going to give me July 15th.
Yeah, all right. I like that move. Okay, one quick programming note. On Friday, March 1st, that's next week, next Friday, Antonio Brown will join LeBron James and Maverick Carter, along with Jamie Foxx, Meek Mill, Anthony Davis, Jared Carmichael, and 2 Chainz on The Shop, the season premiere of The Shop on HBO Sports. So you can check that out if you want to see some Antonio Brown stuff. I can't imagine he'll have anything to say sitting in a chair with LeBron James and all those guys. And it looks like they're all hanging out in the barbershop at the same time. So that should be interesting to note. Antonio Brown and Anthony Davis. JLC, always a pleasure, my man. We will see you in Indianapolis.
Yeah, buddy. I look forward to seeing you in Indianapolis and doing it in the flesh.
All right, man. See ya.